Hey, thanks so much for clicking on this video. Welcome to the Foundry Church and happy Easter. What you're about to see is our message from Easter of 2024. If anything comes up for you during this message and you'd like to reach out to us to request prayer or maybe just to ask some questions, you can do that by going to our website, thefoundryc.org. While you're there, you can find out all about who we are as a church, what we've got going on in our community and in the world, and you can really get connected with the life of our church if that's something that you want to do. All right, let's get to the message. We hope you enjoy.
Good morning. Hey, happy Easter. I am so very glad you're here, whether you're joining us in person or online. My name is Seth, and this is The Foundry, where we're all about a better you and a better world. Happy Easter. Yeah, happy resurrection. Happy zombie apocalypse day. No, just seeing how far we could go with that one. So my name is Seth. This is The Foundry. If you haven't been here before, kind of where we're at right now is a series that we're calling Sacred Space. And so what we're doing is we're looking at the scripture and stuff of Jesus through this larger lens of Jesus the Christ. Because often when people talk about the Christ, what it seems they're talking about, when they're like limiting that to Jesus. And so the problem is that Jesus the Christ is not so much like a last name as it is a title. And so the Christ is much larger than just the historical life of Jesus. And the problem is, kind of unfortunately and unintentionally, what many Christians and churches have done is that they have kind of limited, unintentionally limited their understanding of the Christ to this historical Jesus, and in doing so, we've minimized the vastness and the all-pervasiveness of the Christ. And so that's kind of what we've been talking about, and really how the scripture, on multiple occasions, and a lot of what it's doing is pointing to like this bigger understanding that all things have come through Christ and all things are held together and in Christ. There's a few passages that speak to this right here. John 1:1, he was in the beginning, all things have been made through him. Colossians 1:15, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Colossians 3:11, Christ is all and is in all. Ephesians 4:6, God is over all, through all, and in all. And so as we start to look at the scripture through this lens of the eternal Christ, man, things get bigger and wider and more expansive, and it's really, really interesting. So last week, we talked about the triumphal entry, and we talked about the temple and the tearing of the veil and all that really interesting stuff, and this idea that all of creation was understood to be the dwelling place of God, which is to say that all of creation is the temple. But we also talked about how like the temple itself was a microcosm of creation. And so we've had the triumphal entry, we've had the crucifixion, we've had the burial of Jesus on Good Friday, and now we come to resurrection. Resurrection, Easter Sunday. And resurrection is obviously so absolutely incredible. And here's the thing that makes it so incredible is not just that it was this one-time thing where Jesus conquered death and came back to life. What makes resurrection so incredible is that that one-time event now paves the way for us to live continually in this whole new reality. So here's what we're going to do today, okay? So here I have, I don't know if you noticed, I had some eggs. This is the sermon. Okay, this is the sermon. So there's going to be different stuff in here. It's going to be a bit of a surprise. Something. It's all good stuff, but different things in here. Maybe some jokes. Maybe some candy. Who knows what comes up? Maybe some objects. And so what this will do is this will serve for the kids. By the way, Joe mentioned this. This is our fifth Sunday, Easter Sunday, that we're having all the kids and families. So that's why all the kids in here are in here, which means like we're glad they're in here. But now there's a lot of pressure on me to entertain the kids and the adults. So it's, you guys just hang out. I'll do all the work here. But so this will serve as like a timer because we're going to go from this from right to left. Is that from left to right for you guys? That's backwards, isn't it? I apologize. But we're going to go this way because it works in my brain. And so the more we get down this way, the closer you know we are to the end, okay? So that will help you out. Now, I do need some help with you, from you with this as adults and kids. And so what we're going to do is when I get to an egg or when we need to get to the next one, I'm going to say something like, next egg, that'll be your cue. And I just want you to do this. I want you to chant egg 4 times. Not 3 times because it seems like not enough and you're like missing one. Not 5 times because it seems too long. It's 4 times. Egg, 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 egg. Got it? Pretty simple. We only have to do it 23 times. All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Egg number one.
Egg, 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 egg.
Okay, good job. What do we have here? Woo! What do you call a Transformer bunny? Optimus Prime. Next egg.
Egg, 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 egg.
4. 5 is too many, 3 is not enough. Okay. Here we have Luke 24, 1 through 9. Okay, so we're going to have to look at a few Bible verses. It can't just all be jokes, right? Luke chapter 24, verse 1 through 9. This is Luke giving us his version of the resurrection. Here's what happens. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Your Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. So this is like the whole reason we're here today, right? That we have this celebration. And what we celebrate is not just that Jesus died, not just that he died on the cross, because that in and of itself wasn't that special. Romans were killing people on crosses all over the place. What makes this story so exciting is that Jesus was the one person who didn't stay dead. He conquered death. He defeated death. He rose from the grave to show us God's power over death and that death isn't something that we need to be afraid of. Next egg. 4. You're going to get kicked out. What do we got? Candy. Who wants candy? Clay. Oh, sorry. You got it. Maybe next time. All right. Next egg. All right. We're on 5. Let's see what this says. Oh. What do you call a rabbit with fleas? Bugs Bunny. Next egg. Okay, now this is one word. This is the word anastasis. You won't be able to see it, but it's fine. Anybody know what this word means? It's a word in Greek. It's a Greek word. It actually means resurrection. Here's what anastasis means resurrection. It means literally a standing up again, a resurrection from the dead, raised to life again, this is where we get the word resurrection. And so when we talk about what we celebrate on Easter and we say we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, this is what we're talking about, that this man who was real was laid to rest in a tomb, that he was dead, but now he is standing up again. He was raised to life again. And this is what makes this day so incredible. We're celebrating Jesus coming back to life from the dead. And if Jesus, the Christ, who is over all, through all, and in all, has overcome death, then it would suggest to us that the Christ in us will and can and will do the same. Yeah. Next egg.
Egg, egg.
Whose kids can't count? All right. This one says sunrise service story. Okay, so this is a story about my life. When I was growing up, well, my whole life, my dad has been a pastor, okay? And so every Easter, our church, when I was growing up in elementary school, we'd do a big sunrise service. And so we'd go down to the river, because we lived over in Melbourne, we'd go down to the Indian River and have this beautiful sunrise service. Now, my dad would wake us up, and it was dark, and it was cold, and we didn't like it, because like, why? Because it's Sunday, we should sleep in. It's a day of rest, Dad, remember that? You taught us day of rest. And so we would get in the car, pile on some clothes and some blankets, and go suffer through my dad's sunrise service. Now, one particular Easter, we did the sunrise service, and then we came home because we had to get dressed in our nice Sunday apparel to go back to church for the big service. Now, my dad loves Easter, right? I mean, everybody likes Easter, but as a pastor, I watched this. My dad just had this extra joy and excitement. So my dad, as we're waking up, like still like coming to grips that the day is beginning, my dad would be walking around the house like singing songs. Up from the grave he arose with the mighty power o'er his foes, right? You know this one? He'd be walking around the house shouting, he's risen, he's alive. And we're like, but we're asleep, Dad. Give us a break. So we change, we're getting ready to go to church, our whole family gets in the car, and we're driving out of the neighborhood. We got the windows cranked down, and yes, I'm doing this symbol because there was an old car, okay? We had the actual cranks, we're doing this, and my dad's got the gospel music blaring, and he just can't contain his excitement for Easter Sunday. And as we're leaving the neighborhood, we see this woman who is riding a bike, and she's coming towards us on the sidewalk. And my dad, who can't contain his excitement as she's passing by, leans half of his body out the window while driving and shouts, he's alive! He's alive! And I'm pretty sure he gave the woman a heart attack because she started to wobble on her bike like this and almost fell into the bushes. Yeah. I remember being very embarrassed, like squatting down in my seat, like, oh my gosh, my dad is an absolute lunatic. You see, but here's the thing. As I look back on that, what I didn't realize at the time was that my dad understood something that I didn't yet fully grasp. He understood the level of significance that Easter has for us, and he felt that deep within his bones, and I'm grateful for his example. Yeah. Next egg. You're not going to get any of this if you keep doing that. It's a bribe. Who wants some candy? We'll go over here to Aria. There you go. All right, next egg. Why do people paint Easter eggs? Because it's easier than trying to wallpaper them. Next egg. All right. Okay, John chapter 20, verse 11 through 17. So now we're going to look at John's version of the resurrection story, and he gives us a few different details, okay? So let's look at this. John says this, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she, oh, by the way, Mary and the disciples, they went and they looked at the tomb, and then the other guys left, and now she's still there. Okay, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. So she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Now, this is like a cool, there's like several things that are happening here, okay? So I need you to kind of sit with me, especially the kids. What's really fascinating about the Bible is there's all kinds of stuff that's happening within the text that you're actually reading. Okay, so for example, there's all kinds of symbolism in the Bible, right? Like numbers have extra meaning and stuff like that. So for example, the number 7 is understood to be a holy number, right? It means completeness, it means wholeness, it means holiness. It has to do with the story of creation and the 7 days of creation. Now, what's interesting is that not only does the number 7 mean holy and completeness, the number 8 also represents something significant. The number 8 represents new beginnings. Okay, now, for example, pay attention, kids, I need your help. This is a real trick question. How many days are there in the week? Good job. Most of you got it. We're getting to learn a lot about parents today. Most of you got it. Okay, so if 7 is a week, what would like an 8th day be? Let's think through this. Okay, listen. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's 7 days. So an 8th day would be Sunday, which would be the beginning of a new week, right? So the number eight represents something new, some sort of new beginning. Now, what we see in the book of John is that as John goes through his story of Jesus, he very strategically lists and numbers the signs and the miracles of Jesus. So for example, he starts with Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding, and he says, this is the first sign. And then he goes through like 6 others, and he gets to like the 7th sign, which is where Jesus is raising Lazarus from the dead. That's the 7th miracle, the 7th sign. And then that's the last miracle before you have the resurrection. So the resurrection becomes the 8th miracle or the 8th sign. And what does 8 represent? Like we just said, the beginning of something new. So you have the 7 days of creation, then we have the 7 signs plus one, the 8th miracle. It's like John is trying to get us to see that through the resurrection, there is this whole new week of creation. There is something new beginning through this moment. In fact, he starts chapter 20 that we just looked at by saying early on the first day of the week, there's a whole new day of creation. There's a whole new creation that's taking place. Which leads us to this other thing that we just read. In John chapter 15, it says, who did Mary think Jesus was? Mary thought Jesus was the gardener. It says she thought he was the gardener. Now, where does the story of humanity start in the story of creation? In the garden, yeah. So now we have Jesus, who is bringing this whole new creation, who was mistaken for the gardener. And what did Adam and Eve do in the story of creation? What was their job? Their job was to tend and maintain and take care of the garden. So now we have this picture of Jesus as this gardener, this 8th miracle on this 8th day that represents this whole new beginning. And so we have Jesus as this new Adam who is this new gardener that is helping this whole new creation to come forth. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, okay. Next egg. I'm pretty sure one of them's mine. I see you. All right. Which side of the Easter Bunny has the most fur? The outside. That one makes me laugh. Next egg. Okay. Candy. Who wants it? Who can I hit with a... Oh, I'm going to the kid. Are you ready? Oh, I didn't make it. All right, sorry. Next egg. Okay. All right, what do we have here? All right, here we have some... I don't know if you can see them. Nope. Sunflower seeds. These are sunflower seeds. Now, these ones are roasted... You want them? I'm not throwing seeds into the crowd, you monkeys. All right. Okay, all right, settle down. All right, so here we have sunflower seeds. Now, these are roasted and salted, so if we put them in the ground, like, nothing much would happen, right? But if these were, like, normal seeds that we just got from the store or something, like, if we put these in the ground and put some soil over them and gave them a little water, what would happen? They would begin to grow, right? They would sprout, they would grow to these big, tall, beautiful, great big, beautiful sunflowers. Like, I love sunflowers. Now, a couple of things about this. Who is it that typically plants seeds? Maybe a farmer, maybe a gardener of some type, right? The farmer, the gardener, that's what they do. That's what they plant seeds, and they plant them, and they help these things to grow. They help new life come into being. And again, what did Mary think Jesus, who did Mary think Jesus was? The gardener. So the gardener plants the seeds in the soil, and that's how they grow. Now, what would happen if we took these seeds and we put them just on the table, or we put them in our pocket, or we put them on a bench or something? Nothing would happen. That's correct. Good job. Nothing would happen, right? So they have to. Something has to be done with them. Now, here's the other thing with this. What do we know about like how plants work? If kids, hopefully you've learned this story, you've planted things in class and watched it grow, right? The seed goes into the earth, and what happens? The plant grows. Eventually it produces a flower or a fruit or some seeds or a fruit with some seeds in it, and then that plant either dies or it goes into like hibernation, and those seeds fall off the plant and they go into the ground, and then those seeds begin to grow again. This is how so much of nature works. There's this pattern in this cycle to all of creation that God has given us to witness that shows us there is life, and then there is death, and then there is new life again. Now, in John chapter 12, Jesus is talking about his impending death, and he says this. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." That's it. Thought we were going to go to the next verse. Produces many seeds. So Jesus is telling us that us, like with nature, there's this pattern. Death is not the end, but rather it's the beginning of something new. So there's this cycle, this pattern to all of creation, life, death, and new life. Next egg. Good job. Starburst. All right. Hold on. By the way, kids, didn't you get candy coming in? Yeah. This is just a bonus. Get over it. All right, next egg. Skittles. There you go. Next egg. What do we got? All right. What do you call an Easter bunny wearing a kilt? Hopscotch. Next egg. All right. Whoa, this is a question. This is a tough question. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Now, this is a big question. So what I want to do is this. On a count of three, I want us to all shout out one thing that we're afraid of, okay? Because I think sometimes just naming it is helpful, and sometimes us collectively naming it is like, oh, we all have stuff. Like, we're not alone in some of our fears. So let's do that, okay? Something simple. What's something you're afraid of on the count of three? One, two, three. Nothing! Okay. Did anybody say gremlins? Mine was gremlins. Kids probably haven't seen that movie, but I never watched the full movie. My parents wouldn't let me, but I saw commercials, and it gave me nightmares. I don't like scary things or scary movies. Now, we all have things that we're afraid of, right? This is part of what it means to be human. We have like fears of snakes and spiders and sharks and growing up and growing old and retirement and not having enough to retire and being alone, speaking in public, getting sick, afraid of heights, all these different things that we tend to be afraid of. And usually one of the things that most of us deal with at some point in our lives, whether we say it out loud or not, and I'm aware we have kids in here, I'll keep it light, but one of the things that we are afraid of is death, isn't it? Because there's so much, and kids ask about this as well, there's so much mystery surrounding this. There's so much that we don't understand, that we don't know. It raises a lot of questions. What's next? What does it look like? How does it feel? Where are we going? Is there actually something on the other side? It's one of those things that it causes a lot of anxiety because we have no control over it whatsoever. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know what it's going to be like, all these different things. I think that can be a bit scary. We all deal with this, I think, from time to time. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul takes like the bulk of this chapter to talk about resurrection. So let me show you a few things he says here because it's really interesting and I think very helpful. 1 Corinthians 15, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead came also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Now, this is an amazing passage, and it also raises a bunch of questions that we don't have time for. But death entered the world through one man, that is Adam. And so resurrection of the dead came through one man, that is Jesus Christ. So if through one guy all of humanity received the curse of death, then wouldn't it also suggest that humanity would receive the gift of life through Christ? He goes on, 1 Corinthians 15. "But some will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. Perhaps people have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds have another, and fish have another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. So he says the body is like the seed that will be planted. Remember how we were talking about these seeds and how nature works. We put this seed into the ground, and what happens? This new thing begins to grow. He goes on, let me show you two more things real quick. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Next slide, verse 54 and 55. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? So I love how Paul starts verse 50. He says, I declare. Not this is a suggestion or hey, might you consider. He says, it's a declaration of the things to come. Not all will sleep, but all will be changed because death has been swallowed up. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You see, the thing that we call death, this great unknown that we often have dreams or nightmares or anxiety or whatever about, it's been handled. It's been taken care of. It does not sting. It does not win. It does not mean we have all the answers and all the exact details, but it does mean that we can trust that we're going to be okay. This thing that we call death is not moving us from the land of the living to the land of the dead. This thing that we call death is like we're moving from the land of the dying to the land of the living. And those who have gone before us, they are moved into the land of the living. In fact, Thomas Aquinas thought that he talked about how there was like two resurrections. And his thought was that if we can wake up to the reality of the Christ in this life, in this time, then we don't really have to worry about the second resurrection because we'll already be living into it. Okay, next egg. Am I missing a paper? I think I'm missing a sheet. I don't know how this ends. Okay. I guess we'll just follow the eggs. This is the second week this has happened. I'm missing. Okay. All right, how do you make an egg roll? You give it a little push. Next egg. Candy. Where haven't we gone yet? We'll go over to this side. There you go. Nice. Oh, you ran for it. Good try. I appreciate the hustle. All right, next egg. Okay. All right. It's a broken crayon. I had to break it so it wouldn't fit in here. You got crayons when you came in. Okay, so this is a crayon. What do we do with a crayon? We color, we draw, we create, we make art, we make something pretty and wonderful and beautiful, right? So speaking of creating something wonderful and beautiful, let's see if there's anything in the next egg. Let's see. Oh, we did that one. Okay, here we go. Okay. Now we've got... Okay, so these are some drawings. This is one that I did. This is a self-portrait. Why did you laugh immediately? This is a self-portrait of me, obviously. If I was a stick figure, turned sideways. Thank you. There it is. You're welcome. Thank you. All right, I've got another one here. This is another one. This is a drawing. I didn't actually do this one, but Miss Elise did this one. This one is actually a pretty good one. This is where are we going? It's a beautiful little tulip. Can you see it? There it is. She did a great job coloring it, didn't she? Did a great job coloring it. Now, here's the thing. What's really awesome about this whole resurrection thing is that this overcoming of death, what it actually does is it gives us this new profound sense of freedom. that we can now live in a way that we are free to color, to create, to draw, to bring wonder, beauty, magic into the world without this threat, without this fear of will it last, what will happen, I don't know, without having to like prove or make a name for ourselves so that we have some sort of lasting legacy to leave behind, because if not, then how will we be remembered, all this stuff. It takes all these fears, all these frustrations, all these worries, all these things that we get so wrapped up about, and it says, no, actually, Jesus has taken care of that. He has defeated death, he has overcome death, and now you are free to live in the life that God has designed and created for you to experience, which now means you are free to get to take all of your energies in this life, in this new creation, this eighth day, this resurrection life that begins now. We step into this internal life now that will carry on. We get to step into this seamless, integrated reality of our existence, and we get to take our time, and we get to have the freedom to color and to create and to make beautiful things come into this world. What a beautiful, wonderful place to live from. We no longer have to live in fear. We no longer have to live in scarcity. We get to step up and say, you know what? I'm gonna color. I'm gonna make something beautiful. And guess what? Sometimes I'm not gonna do it right. Sometimes I'm gonna get outside the lines. Sometimes I'm gonna make a mess. Sometimes the colors are gonna work together. But guess what? You have the freedom to continue to color. You have the freedom to color, to create something beautiful with your life, to do something in the here and now. You get to live in a way now that will echo through all of eternity. Your eternal life doesn't start after you're dead. Your eternal life has begun now, and you can live into the fullness of that in this moment because of Christ. It's pretty awesome. Next egg. Starburst. I'm gonna go long. So watch your eyes. All right, to the back row. You guys, you got glass on, ready? This is dangerous, we're gonna get sued, I know it. Oh, who'd I bounce that off of? Sorry, Alec, sorry. Good to see you, man, I'm glad you're here. All right, last one. All right. What did the excited preacher shout at the lady on the bike? He's alive! He's alive! Yeah, and that's what we celebrate today. That's what we celebrate, resurrection.